Hey, this is an episode 42 addendum. I feel like I'm pronouncing that word wrong. Addendum. And this is a first. Yeah, I've never had an addendum to an episode, but it's very often that I will hit stop and be finished recording, and then of course I'll have other thoughts that I either forgot to say or just didn't think of until it was all over. And this show is unedited. There is very rarely any editing to the show itself. I have to fuck up really bad in order to edit something, and usually that just means starting over from the beginning rather than editing. But to get to the point, just some thoughts I had on this last episode, 42, and I feel like it's very easy to get distracted by the social media monster. And by that, I don't mean get distracted literally by using it, by checking it, but to get distracted by even criticizing it. I feel like there's a lot of focus on it as if it's a source of a lot of the sort of issues I was talking about in episode 42, when really it's just another symptom. And I don't want the whole apartment complex metaphor to be thought of as just social media talk. Because I think it's also phones, it's also many things that we have around us today, many things that make up this digital world, which is more than one platform. But it's funny because I like the idea of the apartment complex, because apartments are little boxes. And I think the things that do make up this digital world are boxes as well. You think about, you know, just to go to social media again, you express yourself in little boxes. Everything is in a little box. You type into a box, and then it displays as a little box within a larger box, and then you're probably even using some kind of box, a rectangular or square shape, to view it. And it's the same thing for phones, even just sending text messages. I mean, you're using this little box to do it, and then a text message is this exchange of little boxes. So it's all just boxes within boxes. And as far as the apartment thing goes, I think, too, that even just text messaging has kind of become a weird form of that, where I know iPhones do this. My phone doesn't. My Mi phone. I have a Mi phone, not an iPhone, and it doesn't do this. It doesn't show you if someone's read your message or not. I've heard that all iPhones apparently do that with other iPhone users. And I just can't think of any reason for that to exist except as some sort of little antisocial prank by the programmers who just want to stir up trouble. Because you would think, you know, if we were all very healthy people, you would think that, you know, it's just a matter of, oh, well, at least I know that person's safe or alive. You know, they're not dead somewhere and not getting my message. They're safe and alive, even if they haven't responded to my message. And if they don't respond to my message ever, well, that's a clear sign they're just not interested in talking to me, and I'm healthy enough to deal with that and to move on. But I think the opposite is the reality, and whatever programmer set that up and whatever board of whatever committee at these phone companies approved that, you know, they either had an extremely high opinion of people, that people could handle that, knowing that their message was read but not responded to, or they just wanted to fuck with people, knowing that it would just create even more tension, even more problems, even more anger and anxiety. And it's kind of dangerous, too. You think about, you know, the anger of men. Like, you know, they know, like, some angry man, you know, making an advance to a woman, and he sees that she saw the message, but she doesn't respond. Oh, yeah, that'll stop him. He'll get it then. Oh, she just doesn't want to talk to me, and so I'll stop sending messages. Yeah, that's exactly how it works. But in a way, what that sort of function has created, it's sort of given people the ability to knock on someone's door and see that the lights are on and to hear movement inside or hear voices and go like, I know you're in there. I know you're in there. I see the light on. I see shadows moving. I hear your TV. I hear the Dick Van Dyke Show. You know, it's like it's given people the ability to do that, to knock on someone's door and see that they're home and create that awkward moment through the phone. And it's because the phone has created this weird digital apartment complex of its own. It's all part of that apartment complex. And I'll let go of that metaphor. I don't want to force it too much. Although I do, one of the thoughts I had will kind of bring it back into focus. So we're not letting go yet. We're not letting go. But it's just, it's created that sort of experience of knocking on someone's door and then it's placed it in your hands. You can see that, oh, you're home. You read my message at 4:52. I know you're home. I know it's like screaming into your phone. I know you're in there, but really it's like, I know you saw this. And so in that sense, we've sort of invaded people's space. It's almost like, you know, if you were an apartment neighbor, you know when anybody's home, you know what people's schedules are, and we've sort of forced that on each other. You can learn a great deal about people's schedule and behavior just through this digital world. It's amazing that you can actually learn a lot about someone's personal, physical life, their real life, quote unquote, from this digital world, more than you might even be able to if you were just talking to them. That's what's really strange about it. It's allowed us to invade their physical world without even getting up. We can do it from our own homes. We can invade, you know, and Google Maps is a great example of that as well. It's like you can be looking at someone's front door, granted not in real time, but you can be looking at someone's front door and you can learn a lot about their life and their schedule. And, you know, you can see when they read your message all from just sitting down in your own house. And they can be doing the same to you because it's that whole panopticon effect. Actual episode in episode 42, I said, it doesn't seem like we're leaving the apartment complex anytime soon. It doesn't seem like we're going anywhere. And I don't think we are. I think this stuff is here to stay. It's here to say we're here to stay. But I do think we can, you know, engineer it in certain directions. And that sounds so fancy to say. I don't even know what engineering is, but we can engineer it in certain directions. And one of those ways, I think, is to dial it back a little bit, not try to get rid of it entirely, because like I said, the person who tries to jump off the grid completely ends up becoming consumed by the grid, and I don't think that's the answer. I think if you can do that, and you can do it, you know, with peace of mind, go ahead and do it, but I don't think most people can do it, and I definitely don't think we can do it on a massive level, on a societal level. I think that this is all too ingrained in us now. It's like the idea of telling people to just abruptly stop driving cars, even though it's killing the environment. We're not just going to stop doing that immediately. It's going to take a lot more. And maybe we'll be able to gradually do it. Maybe there's a process for it. But with the boxes that we are communicating through and that we are living in, the digital boxes, I think there is a way to kind of dial it back. Because as I started to talk about in the actual episode, now we're in this weird meta world where I'm doing episode 42 addendum. It's like a weird, I'm commenting on an episode. I don't know. It's getting weird. It's another box. This episode is another box. Like I was saying, there was this kind of time when the very early form of social media developed. There were websites that were kind of like primitive versions of what we now call social media. There were online journals. There were things like Friendster and MySpace, but it was a smaller circle of people. You had to kind of seek people out and add them, and not everybody was on them. It kind of took a certain type of person, and generally you were probably connected to the people who you were close to already. You weren't connected to every coworker you ever had, everybody you ever went to kindergarten with, everybody from your high school you never knew, every single family member from every generation. You know, it was generally a smaller circle of people that you more deliberately had to seek out and form some network with in the digital world. Your top eight, whatever it was. It was something more like that. And what that was more like, it was almost like living in kind of a smaller apartment house. See, I'm not letting go of that metaphor. It was almost like living in a smaller apartment house. It was almost like being like the cast of Friends or something, where it's you have this small group of people and you're in this kind of quaint, you know, maybe quaint's not the right word, but you're in a more stylized apartment house. You're in some cool loft. Maybe you're in an old house and your roommates, they're not even neighbors, they're just your roommates, they're your actual friends, they're people you actually have a connection with, people who you can comfortably express yourself with, and they can comfortably express what they want to you. It's not like where you see someone airing, you know, family business, family drama publicly to all 500 to 1,000 of their online friends, to everybody that they've ever known. Literally, that's what that is. when I see people, even people that I'm, you know, close to, I will see them air some kind of bullshit. And I'm like, you're saying that to everybody you ever knew, plus a bunch of people you probably don't know. It's just people you ended up being friends with on there randomly or something because they liked your post on like one of your other friends' posts, and therefore you got to be connected forever. You got to be connected forever now. So it's like you're airing that stuff to like literally everybody you've ever known, you know, give or take a few off the grid people who are sitting there just thinking about all this stuff. They might not be doing it, but they're thinking about how they're not doing it. They're atheists. they're technological atheists. If they don't believe in it, it must not exist. But instead of that, you would have this kind of apartment house of people where you're not broadcasting it to a sprawling, you know, Section 8 housing monstrosity. You're instead expressing it just to your close friends, to your roommates, practically. And that makes a lot more sense. And I think maybe things will dial back to that, where we won't get rid of this basic structure, this basic way of communicating, because we're already there. That world already exists. That spot in the cave has already been carved out, and people have crawled into it, and we're not going to abandon it until the rocks just cave in completely and fall on us. But instead, maybe we can say, hey, let's carve it out this way. Let's carve it out in a more deliberate way and be more mindful of the direction that it's going. And maybe even retreat back a little bit. Oh, you see this other cave over here? Look what they did with that. You know, we've gone from apartment metaphors to cave metaphors. And that's sort of what we're doing here, because I think we do have to dial it back. We have to, you know, go back to an earlier time and say, what worked here? Because that's something that we as humans have a very difficult time doing. Once we've already done something, we don't like to rest on it. We don't like to say, things were perfect at this level. Things were just fine right here. Although we've sort of done that with records, vinyl went out of fashion by the 1980s. It was, you know, definitely losing steam. And then in the 90s, they were still releasing some records, some mainstream records, but there were a lot of things that were pressed on CD that didn't get pressed on vinyl. So it was independent underground music pressing vinyl. And then things kind of came full circle where it was like, you know, that thing we were doing back then was kind of nice. And of course, a lot of people are like, it's just a trend. It's just a trend. But still, there are a lot of people now who legitimately feel like, oh, you know, we shouldn't have gotten rid of that whole vinyl thing. I think we can do that with other things. I think we can look back and say, you know, there was this period of time where our desire to grow and change kind of outpaced our needs. And we explored that territory and we found that it didn't really work. We found that it wasn't really sustainable. It created too many problems. So let's take it back a notch. And, instead of having a website where you're connected to everybody you ever knew and you express every little dirty secret and you expose every, you know, subconscious nightmare that's just boiling, you know, inside of your soul, instead of expressing that to them, you know, maybe just be connected to, you know, a group of people who you legitimately trust and other people who you find legitimately interesting, and communicate in a more meaningful way, even if it's not as, you know, it's less hasty. Communicate in a way that's less hasty, more meaningful, and with people who you legitimately have a connection with. And maybe that's a hard thing for people, is determining who you have a connection with. Because there are some people where you just chemically feel it. You meet them and you just know. While there are other people who they might have everything in common with you. You might have every reason under the sun to be their friend. And other friends, mutual friends even say, you know, I just know you're going to be best friends. Oh, do you know so-and-so? I just know you're going to be best friends. And you meet that person and you're just like, not bad, but no opinion. You know, I don't feel like we're going to be best friends. Or that does happen. I don't know. I'm not here to tell people who they should be connected with or what an actual connection to another human being is. God knows my life would be a lot different if I knew what it meant to have a meaningful connection to another person and I could actually define it. But there's no science to determine that. You know, we haven't calculated that yet, and I don't think we ever will. But we'll continue to calculate. We'll continue to be calculating people. I know that much. But I think we can, dial it back a bit. I think that's the answer. We should try to live in apartment houses, in cool, funky, there's a word I don't like nor use, but we'll go live in cute, funky apartment houses with people of our choosing. That's the future of the digital domain, is to live in cute little apartment houses with our best friends. But what if you consider someone your best friend, but they don't consider you their best friend? Then what are you going to do? Then it's back to the apartment complex. Then it's back to the huge, sprawling apartment complex. And then you might as well just hop off the grid and not have any friends.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children